You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Let me start off by saying there are no actual lions in this film. It's a total
lie. Don't believe him. He's lying.
Which I was really disappointed by.
It wasn't a pun.
Although there's
at least they didn't call it Osama like that other movie that nobody went to go see.
There's kind of a lion right here.
Say hi to the lion.
Yeah, there aren't even any cats in this.
I don't even know which cat that was that you just picked up.
I think it was
one of them.
There actually was a cat because I was noticing as he was walking through one of the villages, there's a cat running around.
Anyway. Oh, well, there you go. There's your lion.
There you go.
Yeah, that was the lion.
Just applies the title completely.
Honestly, when they do the title in this film, it's one of those moments where they almost, like. Lion.
the audience I was seeing it with, because it was a title card that explains why the movie is called Lion, and like right before they said it, people were like, "Oh, this is why, yeah." I was like, really?
Yes, and you will be on the planet of the apes.
So this film This film brought to you by Google Earth, clearly.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. This kind of is Google Maps, the movie. There's no getting away from it.
Yeah, it really strongly emphasizes how great Google Earth is. It's the story, a real story, of Saru Brierley? I'm probably saying that totally.
Brierley. He adopted the name of his Australian family.
Yes. Who was, when he was 5 years old, which is the first third of this movie, is separated from his family, separated his older brother due to a...
He gets on the wrong train.
And ends up way. He gets in Kathmandu.
Kolkata.
I'm going to Kathmandu.
Kathmandu is in Nepal.
What lion is gonna do?
He travels from a small village.
He's gonna drink some
booze. Shut up, Seeger. So he is from a small village somewhere within the area of Mumbai, and he. You know, he and his brother are basically street urchins. They kind of rummage about for stuff to sell to help their family out. Mm-hmm. And at one point they go to this train station. Saru falls asleep. He panics. He gets on this train and it takes him 1,600 kilometers away to Kolkata, which is
a lot for you Americans.
Yes, it's nearly 1,600 miles. Which is basically like, Mumbai's up here, Kolkata's like down here, like, on the Indian Ocean. So, they're opposite sides of the country.
And it follows from there with this tiny kid. Imagine this is The Walking Dead, right?
He's not even coral size.
This kid would not be making his way. And we're just talking about India in, like, what was it, the 80s, right?
Yeah, this takes place in... the beginning of the movie takes place in 86, and it goes through to about 2000.
It's pretty fucking tough, regardless of zombies walking around. It's pretty hard. It's only because there aren't zombies that he manages to survive, which is what I took away.
Yeah, being a street kid is really hard. That's being a street kid in India is even harder. Yeah.
But he ends up getting adopted by a family with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. When he shows up in Kolkata, like, he gives them this name of the village that he's from, and people are like, well, that there's no village by that name. We don't know what you're talking about. He's five, so, remember when you were five and you didn't know how streets worked or anything like that? Well, imagine, getting lost in the mall and having to tell somebody how to get back to your house. Well,
just going by sounds more than anything else.
Multiply that times 1,600 kilometers, and you've got an idea of what he's going through.
I was already getting laid when I was five. You like Fisher Price?
we barely believe you're getting laid now. Much less then.
Fair enough.
So he spends some time, kind of literally on the streets, and then, goes through some dodgy stuff, ends up in an orphanage. And, you know, someone actually tries to, like, they take a picture of him, they circulate it in the Calcutta newspapers, like, we're looking for this parent's kids. They can't find them. I mean, and so parents. He gets, it, you know, in the institution he is, they place him in a program.
What'd you say, Chris?
You mean this kid's parents.
What did I say?
You said his parents' kids.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Tequila.
That's my contribution.
Use it for all of your reviews. So
glad we're just dead on this time.
So he gets placed into a program for adoption, and he is adopted by a Tasmanian family played by Nicole Kidman. Not that kind. Not a Tasmanian devil family. He's not going to Tasmanian hell.
This is probably the most lighthearted discussion of this movie ever. Yeah, ever.
Just the regular Tasmania with David Wenham, a.k.a. not Faramir from Lord of the Rings, and Nicole Kidman.
He's still
and
Faramir.
Not an aged Harry Connick Jr. either, which is what I thought at first.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the only one that remembers him as the bad guy in Australia. Because
that movie is terrible.
It's true. Terrible. It's just messy.
Everybody in Australia is the bad guy.
I'm a huge Baz Luhrmann fan, and Australia is terrible.
It's messy. It's messy. But
everything is poisonous there. Yeah. And
including that movie.
That movie will make your arms swell.
The bulk of this film is certainly with the grown-up version of this kid. Like, after he's been, you know, he's lived for a while, he's become a full-grown adult, played by Deb Patel.
In a lead performance.
Despite what some people are saying.
Not like in Life of Pi, yeah, where he was a supporting actor to a tiger.
Yeah, Dev Patel, he's cornered the market when it comes to playing Indian orphans.
And yet they didn't want him to play this role. I read somewhere that he had to audition, like, hardcore to get this role. Like,
who else were they going to get to play this role?
He's the only one.
They wanted an unknown. The Marigold Hotel guy.
I thought you were emphasizing that he's the lead because for the Golden Globes he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Well, there was also, like, that...
He had to be nominated
as Best Supporting Actor for the Golden Globes.
It's Hollywood. It was down to him and Cal Penn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's too old. He's too old.
It's a horrible thing to say. But
it's a horrible thing to say because it's true about Hollywood.
Entirely inaccurate.
It's true about Hollywood, yeah.
He didn't get nominated for this film. I thought he got nominated for The Man Who Saw Tomorrow.
No, he was nominated for this one, but in the supporting category.
Yeah. The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, which is kind of absurd.
Because
the Sonny Pawar, who plays the young Saru, is actually nominated for lead actor. So
yeah, very weird considering he's in much less of this film.
It's kind of half and half. Like, but actually, by the time Dev Patel comes in, it's a two-hour movie, and Dev Patel really comes in at that the one-hour mark. So
I looked at my watch.
It's equally divided.
I looked at my watch when he came on because I could not stand it. Everything with the kid for being such a small kid turned in a decent performance, but that.
Children are horrible.
I was just completely unengaged that whole first half of the movie. I was like, when the fuck are we getting to Dev Patel?
Well, you know,
when are we going to Australia? I hate this country.
Weirdly, I was the other way. I was really enjoying the first half of this film, watching the adventures of this kid.
Well, enjoying is those things. Was compelled, probably.
Yes, love to see children suffer. Yeah.
I was very disappointed that there was no scenes of him rummaging about in a sewage pile. Throwback.
Because that whole first act, I was just like, I can only watch this kid walk around a place by himself so many times looking sad before, like, I get it, he's sad, his parents are gone.
God, children, stop being sad.
Yeah. Why do you always have to be like, oh, my mom,
stop
oh, my God.
Actually, you know,
why doesn't anyone love me?
That is an absolute fair description of Dev Patel in the second half of this movie, which is basically like, you know, he's...
True.
You
actually, know, you're entirely
yeah,
right.
He's fair. You know, he's been raised by this family. You know, he's, you know, achieved a degree of privilege he would never have growing up, you know, had he remained in his village, you know, for better or for worse. And all of a sudden he starts having this, you know, these kind of flashbacks to his childhood, and he's, you know, comes to the conclusion that he's at a party with other Indians, and there's kind of a little interplay where they're like, you know, oh, do you like cricket? Do you like cricket? You know, do you like the Indians or do you like the Australians? He's like, well, I like the Australians because he grew up in Australia at this point.
That's the world he knows.
And that's the world he knows. And then he's over at this party with his girlfriend, played by Rooney Mara, who's white and an American.
No.
Yeah. And
it would be amazing if she was playing an Indian.
She is playing. Hey, man, she can do the American accent. Just saying. throwback to ancient Hollywood.
The girl with the Indian tattoo.
Yeah. Hey man. Myrna Loy played Fu Manchu's daughter. I'm just saying.
Guys, she is Indian. Remember in Pan? She was the leader of the Indian village.
In a Razzie nominated performance.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You're so right. Holy shit. Chris Herman, why he's essential to this website. bring up obscure shit
because
like
he's
that.
The only one who remembers Pan.
immensely. At this party, he sees these Indian pastries that he used to love as a little kid when he was still living in his village, and he has this, you know, Marcel Proust trigger to go back.
Holy shit, I have a real family.
Yes.
What happened to them?
I love that you dropped Proust in this. That's so great.
Marcel Proust.
Yeah, that's
read it while you're drinking tequila.
That's so sweet. You tried to make Beau feel good about a Proust reference.
No, because I thought anyone that's read Swans, whatever that
thing
is.
Thank you, and you're an illiterate boob.
It imprints into your soul whether you want to or not.
La Madeleine, fuck off.
I can never look at a Madeleine without thinking of that.
That's true.
I can't
look at a Madeleine without thinking, ooh, croissant.
I can't eat a Madeleine without going,
JC's with me. He's like, fuck it. Is there cheese on that croissant? Yes, please.
Bring it. It's meant to be eaten with tea. So, but yes, and after this realization, he becomes the mopiest fuck on the planet.
Yeah.
He enters into, like, a Howard Hughes sort of, like, phase, isn't he? Where he just becomes, like, really obsessed and really closed off from...
He's not recycling his own urine, but he is, like, he's got a room that basically looks like anybody who's ever tried to figure out a conspiracy theory with, like, all of these... Because one of the people at the party says, hey, they've got this new thing called Google Earth. You can use the map function to look at things.
Which,
so,
by the way, is like a third of this movie.
Yeah.
Google Earth is great. Look at what I can do with it. Oh my God, that's amazing.
And this sends him into a psychotic break, which is why you shouldn't use Google Earth.
I think that's my biggest problem with this film. Like for me, I really enjoyed, like I said previously, the scenes of the younger kid, because I'm like, oh man, you poor kid. Like, dealing with this, how are you going to get out of this? And the moment you're like, okay, now he's all grown up and kind of a prick. Not a huge prick. Kind of a... Well, he is the way he deals with his girlfriend.
I get the
he's
sense
he's a 20-something dude that's a little self-obsessed.
Well, I get the sense that he was kind of a prick because, like, the other adopted brother that family adopted wasn't as cool, and so he's like, well, I'm way better than this kid.
That's a good way to put it.
He's a junkie, the other kid.
And certainly there is, you know, they've done plenty of studies that they're like, if you are of one ethnicity and you adopt a child of another ethnicity, it is very important that you give them something to hold on to, that they understand that they come from a different culture than yours. And, you know, they adopted this kid in the 80s, so there really wasn't any of that. I mean, they were great parents. They're the supportive parents of your dreams. But they're a white couple, and he's from India, and he doesn't know where he comes from. He has literally been lost for, you know, at this point, 20-something years.
I guess it's the emphasis on the way that impacts him the way he reacts to everyone else in his life, which is like, you're kind of being an asshole about all
this.
Because that really pulled me right out of this.
Because as at one point he's arguing with his girlfriend, and he's like, you don't hear my brother's voice in your head every day. Well, it's like, you didn't either for 20-some-odd years.
Yeah.
At least that wasn't communicated in the movie.
She's like, please let me know anything I can do to help you on this journey. And he's like, no, you can fuck off.
It doesn't feel like anybody could understand or can post something.
And to an extent, I think he doesn't really want people to understand, because he's feeling this kind of anger and helplessness. And so he pushes everybody away from him. His girlfriend actually goes up to him and is like, have you told your mom that you want to find your biological mother? And he's like, no, that would hurt her too much. And she's just like, you are underestimating her.
Yeah.
Completely.
And then as we find in the film, which watching the film seems very clear, because Nicole Kidman is playing, like, by far the most, like, I'm just a sweet person, end of story. Type character in this movie,
and well, she's.
I think it was deeper than that.
Yeah, she's supportive to a fault. I mean, his brother has a lot of problems with drugs. He seems like he's high functioning autistic in many ways.
Yeah.
And she is just like she, you know, whenever Saru says anything bad about him, she is not having it. She's like, you know, no, well, we support each other in this family. That's what we do. And you know, it never gets to a point that seems like it's damaging anything. But you know, if this was a real family exploration, you would probably see some signs of that.
Well, let's get a
she's codependent,
and maybe they could have had more time to explore that. They didn't spend so much time in the first hour with
the <True. laughs> or the many minutes they show in this film of him, like, you know, going through Google Earth and checking out little train stations and stuff like that. Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to be so cynical as to say it's just product placement, but it's a little weak tea, because if this had happened before this technology was invented, like, he'd be going to India and, you know, taking the trains and going everywhere. And
which would have made a more interesting story.
It's hard to avoid that, and, you know, this is a real, you know, real story, and so they're trying to give credit to that. But yeah, it is a little bit of a weak tea to make a 2-hour brew of.
Well, let's go to final thoughts and start with JC.
A little more disappointed with this one than I thought, mostly because, like I said, I didn't really like the first hour. But I felt like I spent too much time rehashing some of the same things in that first hour, and I felt like they could have gotten to the meat of the story quicker. In which, I get that it could be argued that the meat of the story was what he went through when he was five. But I was more interested in the journey of how he found his family. And it ended up really just kind of boiling down to, once he reached his breaking point, he's just messing around with the computer. Oh, hey, all of a sudden, after all this time, then he stumbles upon...
I guess we gotta let him find his place now. Yeah.
So,
thank God I got Google Fiber.
I think it sort of wrapped up a little too neatly and quickly after doing a fairly good job in the middle of, you know, showing how difficult this journey was and what he was going through and how difficult it is for his Australian family and his personal relationships. I thought all that was good. And then, yeah, tied up too neatly in a bow at the end, too quickly. But I like Dev Patel's performance. I like Nicole Kidman's, I like Rooney Mara's. Everybody here did a really good job. I would give it 6.5 out of 10 laptops.
Frank!
I don't necessarily agree with you. I do find the more, I actually agree more with Chris. I think that the beginning stuff with the kid, it was very, very sad. It was very dark. It was very tragic. It was endlessly depressing. But, you know, I think it was great. I mean, not great, but it was, you know, interesting seeing his story and where
you
know,
like watching children suffer.
You know, on some level, who doesn't really? But you know, I feel like most of us are going to go to hell for this review in a lot of ways.
You were already there, brother.
Yeah, I know.
It's all good.
Yeah, my seat's already there. But I love this the story of the search and, you know, wanting to put these ghosts that he. You know, they might not be at the forefront throughout his entire life, or definitely in his subconscious and never left him. I love the relationship he had between Dev Patel and Rooney Mara. And this is the first time I've actually ever really liked her in anything.
Rooney Mara, really?
Yeah. I'm not a Rooney Mara fan. I think she picks good material. I love that Soderbergh.
Why do you hate the Irish?
Yeah.
Because
they don't drink enough. They don't drink enough. No, but I mean,
you're a bad example.
that scene though, when I love their relationship so much. I love that scene when he goes to her and he says, "I found home," and she just lights up. And I think that's such a beautiful moment in the film. Likewise, I thought Nicole Kidman was fantastic in this movie. When it's really one of the great one of the greatest representations of motherhood that we see in the film. That moment when he tells, Dev Patel tells her, I found my found home and I want to go back. And he's almost sort of like ashamed to tell her. And she says, you need to go home. She needs to see how beautiful you are. I love that. She knows what it means, what it would mean to his mother to see him. And, it's those sort of moments when the film really comes alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have done with a lot less laptop searching, a lot less of shots of the Google logo. But ultimately, this is a warm film. It's a warm story, and it works on most of the levels it aims for. So I probably give this 8 out of 10 really bad wigs on Nicole Kidman.
All right, so I'm going to take my place in the middle of this one, which is rare, and say I think this is a real mixed bag. I think nothing is necessarily bad in this film. Because it's not. There's nothing in this I can nail and go, like, that was a bad decision. That was a bad thing to do. It just kind of overplays its stay. You know, it overstays its
welcome.
This time
of year, there's always, like, very safe, like, award season. It's like, this belongs here.
Exactly.
Could it structure differently, do you think, you know?
Maybe. And I'm with you, like, as you agreed with me, like, I like the first part better with the kid than I did with Deb Patel. I was actually really into that, like, oh, I'm worried for this kid, and the moment it's Deb Patel is just some hipster in Australia, I'm like, I don't give a fuck what happens to you.
He is really good, Patel is really great.
He is really good, and he has some seriously strong emotional moments. Also, give him notice as well this year for The Man Who Saw Infinity, which is another film played a very strong role for, which was also, like this film, a far from perfect film, but he was really good in. I don't think people give Patel enough credit. But regardless, there's so many things that work good in this film, it's just not assembled well. And I think I'm going to have to give it 7 out of 10 unused subway tokens. Or unused train tokens. Sorry. Go to Chris Herman.
Much like Frank and Chris, I too like to watch children suffering. Okay. And I enjoyed
Willy Wonka this weekend. Let's do it.
And I really did enjoy the first half of this film a little bit more. And because it's kind of like, you know, kind of like David Copperfield or like an Oliver Twist, you know, type of story. It's, you know, for, you know, hundreds of years, we like that type of storytelling, you know, the street urchin that is able to, you know, become successful, find a loving home. That's great. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And it also affirms that I never want to go to India ever.
Sorry, I love that the cat is
just talking to Johnny Neal.
Yeah. I love that the cat is just shoving his ass in Chris Herman's face right now.
This is not a tourist, friendly film. Definitely not. Chamber of Commerce won't be adopting it anytime soon.
It's very appropriate. And with the second half of the film, where I will say I think Dev Patel gives a very good performance. I just think that the script kind of does him a disservice. Where he has these scenes where he's just kind of moping. He's staring at Google Earth. He's staring at Google Maps. It's like we just need to see one scene of that and him searching, and then that's really it. We don't need all of this other stuff. You could have cut out 20 minutes maybe of all that stuff. Not really necessary. Mm-hmm. And I can understand, like, you can say he's acting like an asshole. He's acting irrational. You know, for all we know, that could have been, like, the real person. He could have been irrational. He could have been acting like that, where he's grown up in this privileged lifestyle and he doesn't know how to react to, you know, what's going on inside. It's so unique to anyways. I certainly can't identify.
He's not someone who's at peace.
I certainly can't identify, you know, with something like that. I will admit, even towards the end of the film, I got a little watery-eyed. It's a very emotional moment. It's very powerful. I forget who the actress who plays his biological mother, but you know, between her and Dev Patel, they have that final scene together. It's very heart touching. So I'd say I liked it just as much as Frank did, and so I'd probably give it 8 out of 10 Indian cookies.
And now to finish this one out. Let's bring it to Bo Paul. Can I tear you away from your cell phone?
He's actually looking
at that. I'm looking something up, exactly, because I know what rating system I'm going to use, and now it just makes it look like I'm trying to one-up someone. Find something else.
I'm sorry about that.
I absolutely agree that there's a lot of emotional resonance in this film at the end. And I don't feel like it's a gotcha movie or a cynical movie when it comes to that. The catharsis and the payoff is very legitimate, And I certainly teared up. You know, if you don't, hey, you probably got a heart of stone. You probably really do like seeing children suffer.
I looked at that and like Judd Nelson at the end of the breakfast.
You should probably be placed on some kind of watch list. That being said, you know, there's not a lot of meat on the bones of this, and it's sad because I really feel there could be, because there's some interesting personal dynamics going on. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly I think both halves of the film have some very good moments. I just wish I'd see more. One of the flaws of this film is, and it's based on a book, you know, written by the actual Saru Briley called A Long Way From Home. And I think the filmmaker took that as a cue to make this very much about the journey. And the journey in this isn't really interesting. It's one train trip and a bunch of passes on Google Earth. A lot of passes on Google Earth. And I felt like both of those moments could have been excised a bit, and we could have concentrated more on what's going on with you know, this kid and his day-to-day life trying to survive on the streets. Yeah. Of this young man trying to come to terms with his personal identity, what that means with his relationship to the people who raised him, and what that means to the people who gave birth to him and took care of him for 5 years that he can barely, you know, remember in many ways. And the conflicts therein. And also, you probably could have thrown in a couple of dashes of what it means to be a person of color being raised by a white family.
Yeah, that wasn't double.
You know, and that, which I thought this was going to be, you know, that was going to be some of the major meat of this movie, and it's not really in there at all. So I have to say, even though this is, in a lot of ways, a feel-good movie, and I think it's certainly worth seeing, like I said, it doesn't have the meatiness that I was really looking for, and I think in the long run, you know, it's not going to be an incredibly memorable film. But you know, if you're looking to, you know, go through a little emotional catharsis and you know, do a little feel good stuff, then this is for you. You know, have at.
What do you give it?
I give it. 7 watch train cars out of 10. Right.
I know what this was missing. A hit Bollywood song.
There you go.
Jaho!
What's Jaho?
Jaho! It's from The Slumdog Millionaire.
I would have really liked it if, like, midway through that first act, they had just gone, like, there's going to be a big song and dance act.
Right?
Like, totally so much more.
It would have slashed my rating by half if they had done that.
No, it's all...
But if they added on to it.
It didn't really happen, Frank. It's like a metaphor for how they're feeling. Jeez. And plus we get to tap our toes and go...
Hey, no, nobody fell into a toilet, so, you know, that's at least 2 stars there.